God's beloved people, since the theme for today, when Eric and Beth asked me if I would do this, and I read the texts about the Lord's Prayer and prayer, I started going to some of my, I thought just to get, you know, the juices going in my mind again and trying to get into this thing, I went and tried to find a lot of my old favorite prayers, and that's how I prepared myself. So, and I thought I will start out by sharing some of them with you, not all of them. You know, I thought for a while I would make a good sermon actually the ones I'm not including, like, but anyway. And I started with this one. Because Pastor Eric gave it to us a few weeks ago, and it's Luther's morning prayer. And it goes like this. We give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, through Jesus Christ, your dear Son, that you have protected us through the night from all danger and harm. We ask you to proceed. Preserve and keep us this day also from sin and evil, that all our thoughts, words, and deeds may serve and please you. Into your hands we commend our bodies and souls and all that is ours. Let your holy angels have charge of us, that the wicked one have no power over us. Amen. And this used to be one of my favorite prayers. I would say it often in the morning. For a while, not always, but I was kind of a toothbrush prayer, you know, morning and evening. And I'd brush my teeth and I'd say my morning prayer. And this one I would use often in the morning. And I was praying this prayer when our daughter Jen and her husband Brian were climbing in the Glacier National Park, and Brian fell. That was 15 years ago, and died. And in my grief and anger at that, I said, you know, you protected us through the night from all day. And I said, forget that. And I did. I forgot it. And I was thankful for Eric for bringing this back to me, that I could use it. But that was a morning prayer. And so, as some of you might remember, one of my favorite evening prayers is from the New Zealand hymn book, and it went like this. It's just so simple and elegant. I know some of you like it almost as much as me, maybe. Lord, it is night. The night is for stillness. Let us be still in the presence of God. It is night after a long day. What has been done has been done. What has not been done has not been done. Let it be. The night is dark. Let our fears of the darkness of the world rest in you. The night is quiet. Let the quietness of your peace enfold us, all dear to us, and all who have no peace. The night heralds the dawn. Let us look expectantly to a new day, new joys, new possibilities. In your name we pray. Amen. That's one of my favorite prayers still. And this is another one that's actually not prayed to God. It's prayed to her sister. I think it's a prayer. Anyway, it's from Barbara Kingsolver's book, Animal Dreams. And it's about Haley is the main character, and she's in Nicaragua working with poor, and she writes to her sister Cody, and she says, here's what I've decided. The very least you can do in your life is to figure out what you hope for, and the most you can do is live inside that hope. Not admire it from a distance, but live right in it, under its roof. What I want is so simple, I almost can't say it. Elementary kindness. Enough to eat. Enough to go around. The possibility that kids might one great day grow up to be neither the destroyers nor the destroyed. That's about it. Right now I'm living in that hope, running down its hallway and touching the walls on both sides. I can't tell you how good it feels. That's what prayer is, you see. Living in that hope. And to do that, it takes imagination. One of the places I decided I didn't have time for was the connection between imagination and prayer. And this is a little prayer from an old professor of mine, Gerhard Frost, that will give you a hint of what I had to leave out. Lord, I used to think that imagination is just for tripping, going places, wild places, meeting people, wild people, and for setting goals. Now I understand that imagination is for loving, for wearing others' shoes, getting into others' skins. How can one care if one can't imagine, can't see and feel from the other side? Imagination is for caring, serving, helping with the invisible load. Imagination, the mind's pleasure cruise, but the heart's work room. Bless my imagining, Lord. And then one more. This is maybe this guy from maybe my favorite prayer. His name is Ted Loader, and I used to use these as litanies often. And this is one about prayer. Oh, Eternal One, it would be easier for me to pray if I were clear and of a single mind and a pure heart. Huh? If I could be done hiding from myself and from you, even in my prayers. But I am who I am. Mixture of motives and excuses, blur of memories, quiver of hopes, knot of fear, tangle of confusion, and restless with love for love. I wander somewhere between gratitude and grievance, wonder and routine, high resolve and undone dreams, generous impulses and unpaid bills. Come find me, Lord. Be with me exactly as I am. Help me find me, Lord. Help me accept what I am so I can begin to be yours. Make of me something small enough to snuggle, young enough to question, simple enough to giggle, old enough to forget, foolish enough to act for peace, skeptical enough to doubt the sufficiency of anything but you, and attentive enough to listen as you call me out of the tomb of my timidity into the chancy glory of my possibilities and the power of your presence. One of his books on prayer is called My Heart in My Mouth, which is as good a definition of prayer as I've heard. Prayer is not a grocery list we hand to God, and when we don't get what we want, we assume our prayers didn't work. Anne Lamott, in that book, in my brown paper bag, Help, Thanks, and Wow, says prayer is talking to something or anything with which we seek union, even if we are bitter or insane or broken. Prayer is taking the chance that against all odds and past history, we are loved and chosen and do not have to get it together before we show up. We are making contact with something unseen, bigger than we could imagine in our wildest dreams. My belief, Lamont says, is that if you are telling the truth, you are close to God. If you say to God, I am exhausted and depressed beyond words, and I don't like you at all right now, that might be the most honest thing you've ever said. If you told me, she goes on, that you had said to God, it's all hopeless and I don't have a clue if you exist, but I could use a hand, it would almost bring tears to my eyes. It would make me want to sit next to you at dinner. Ted Loader, in one of his books of prayers, said something quite similar. Prayer is always against the odds set by logic and scientism and realism. And it's always against the odds of our own skepticism and doubt. Even when prayer is something that only sounds like a curse or a moan or a desperate plea or a spontaneous whoopee or wow, there is a gut deep intuitive refusal to accept the odds or to calculate too closely, listen, either the limits of the possible or the sneakiness of grace. The French mystic Simeon Weil said, paying attention is prayer. St. Augustine, talking of prayer, said, without God we cannot. Without us, God will not. Maybe that's true. Kathleen Norris, in her book, Amazing Grace, said, prayer is not doing, but being. It is not words, but the beyond. Words experience of coming into the presence of something much greater than the self. It is an invitation to holiness. Now, lest that sound too intimidating, last time we were in Minneapolis, Mary and I went down to have breakfast in Northfield, where I moved out west years ago. And my friend said, you know, John Mockstead, one of my old art professors who died just a couple of years ago, was having an art exhibit of his old paintings right next door. And I bought a calendar of his stuff. And in it, one of my old religion professors, Joe Shaw, speaks of one of my old art professors, John Mockstead, like this. At a forum in 2010, John explained the holy with a perfectly dazzling account of God creating the banana. A tender, gentle, sweet fruit with a nice human bite-sized diameter and a handle. God put it in a most holy and sacred package. So delighted with what he had made, God charged the cover with light, light emanating from a new color. And the color, of course, was yellow. So surprising and joyful that God shared it with canaries, the goldfinch, squash, daisies, gold, and the sun itself. Then God said, when you are in the presence of yellow, you are with me. What may be his last painting, John left us all an oil pastel that bears the words from Colossians. He is the image of the invisible. The next word, you know, should be God, but John did not let her in that. Instead, in its place was a circle. And inside the circle a blazing field of bright yellow. With all of that, I am drawn to this book, Help, Thanks, Wow. And I want to tell you what played out for with Mary and I just this past week. We spent about a week and a half in the San Juan Islands at a friend's guest house on Shaw Island. We were with our daughter Jen and John and our grandchildren Sarah and Jack. And Mary's sister came from St. Paul, Kay. And the first, Collins came at the end of it, but the first week, one of Jen's old friends from grade school lives in Vancouver. A single mom with two kids, 13 and 15, came and spent the week with us. She is an oncology nurse at Oregon Health Science Hospital in Portland, and she has lung cancer. But she was great. It was good for us all to be together. When she was in high school, she lived with us for weeks, months, I think, when her family was building a house. She had to check up her annual or whatever checkup on Tuesday. It was a full body scan and a brain scan because she had been having some headaches. Being an oncology nurse right there, she told them to just put the results in the file and that she could check it on Tuesday evening to anticipate her Wednesday morning meeting with the oncologist that she was going to go to with her mom. So she checked her file and nothing was there. A bad sign, she thought. So she called a nurse friend and to discover that there were cancerous lesions in her brain. She was devastated. She called Jen in great, great tears. And of course, when Jen got off the phone, she called us in great, great tears. Both Mary and I were talking. In fact, she sounded just like she did 15 years ago when Brian died. I mean, we both reminded us both of that. And Mary's sister Kay and I and Mary talked into the night. And finally, we dragged ourselves off to bed with only that unspoken prayer, which was just a moan in a tear. The only possible prayer we had. Help. Well, this story happened to turn out all right, because sometime afternoon on Wednesday, Jen called again. She had talked to Vicki. It wasn't nearly so bad as it seemed. Sometimes lung cancer does go to the brain, but the lesions are very small and they're not in a very central place, and they can now zap them. So she's going to a brain oncologist this week. And her life is not going to change, and her lungs are good, and the chemo she's on taking is working, and her oncologist said, we could get through this. The news was good, after all. When we were off the phone and told Mary's sister, Kay, who had been overhearing this conversation, now this is really too true, all she said was, wow. And then we decided, let's go to lunch. And on the way, I said, you know, I feel like I've lost 10 to 15 pounds. I mean, I just felt so much lighter. finally, I think that all prayer, in all of our prayers, comes down to that line from the Lord's Prayer. Thy kingdom come. For at last, I believe life itself is a prayer. And the prayers we say shape the lives we live, just as the lives we live shape the prayers we say. And it all shapes the kingdom which expresses itself in and among us, even as we ask, help, thy kingdom come. Thanks, thy kingdom come. Wow, thy kingdom come. With grace and peace and all that good stuff, of course. Amen.